Hello and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Laura Merrilies. Today we will be discussing the tricky issue of employees covertly recording meetings. How do you respond to this as an employer? Should you be outlining the rules that apply to covert recordings? And if you do, can those rules be applied in all circumstances? And what's the position if an employee tries to rely on a covert recording, even where that individual has breached the rules? Well, today we will be discussing all of these issues and others with employment law editor Zoraida Curtis. Zoraida, why are we discussing this topic?
I've represented employers at tribunals as well as advised employers on a lot of employment law matters, and I've come across lots of employers who don't know what to do when employees covertly record meetings. In some instances, employers only find out that the meetings were recorded at the employment tribunal when a claimant tries to admit the recordings as evidence, and with the prevalence of more sophisticated recording devices, this trend will only increase.
Absolutely. Now, of course, an employee doesn't have the legal right to make a recording of the meetings, does he or she?
That is correct. Employees do not have the right to record an internal meeting. Therefore, if an employee asks to record a meeting, the employer must decide on whether or not to permit the request.
We'll have a chat later about the whys and wherefores of whether or not to allow a recording. But if we look at the moment, just at the type of situation where an employee leaves a recording device in a room, or they have it on their person to record the meeting, so that could be during a disciplinary meeting, grievance meeting, investigatory meeting, even the discussions during the break. There was a case, wasn't there, of Punjab National Bank and Gossain, which considered whether or not that type of evidence would be admissible in tribunal.
Yes, this was a case of sexual harassment, sex discrimination and constructive dismissal. Ms. Gossain left the recording device in a room during breaks during her disciplinary hearing and grievance hearing. And during these breaks, the managing director was instructed to dismiss her. The grievance hearing manager said that he was deliberately skipping key issues. And during the disciplinary hearing break, a sexual remark was made about Ms. Gossain.
Now, in that case, I recall that the employment tribunal allowed the recordings in as evidence, despite the employer objecting, didn't they?
Yes, the tribunal decided that the relevant evidence must be balanced against the need to ensure the confidentiality of the employer's private deliberations. Now, these comments went beyond deliberations.
Yeah.
They were not part of the decision making and they were completely unrelated to the issues being considered.
Absolutely, and that really was an important feature of that case. But employers may not need to be as concerned if their deliberations legitimately focus on the issues that have to be determined, need they?
Yes, and this was demonstrated in the case of the chairman and governors of Amwell View School versus Doherty. In this case, the claimant covertly recorded the disciplinary proceedings, but also continued to let the recording run after the parties had left the panel to their deliberations. Now, although the ET was right in allowing the claimant to adduce evidence from the unauthorised and covert electronic recording, the transcript and recording of the private deliberations were excluded from the proceedings.
So what can an employer try to do to head off this issue of covert recordings before it happens?
Well, I would strongly recommend having a written policy. Now, it's not enough just to have a written policy. It actually needs to be clearly communicated to employees, for example, in your staff handbook. But it's also important to make mention of it in the disciplinary and grievance procedures.
Yeah.
And it would be important to make the point that making recordings is in breach of the policy and will be grounds for disciplinary action.
Yes, and I suppose that point could be reinforced, couldn't it, by the chair of the disciplinary or grievance meeting at the start of the meeting, that it's prohibited to record the meeting.
Yes, the chair could clarify that it's a breach of policy that could result in disciplinary proceedings. They could also ask that the employee to make a signed declaration that they are not recording the meeting. But remember, this doesn't necessarily mean that the evidence won't be admissible, because the tribunal will always determine whether that evidence is relevant or not.
But I suppose it's a deterrent, isn't it, if nothing else? Let's look at a different situation now, where an employer does in fact decide to allow a recording to be made. Are there any ground rules that an employer should establish if they're going to do that?
Well, an employer could make clear on how an employee can, for example, make, store and use the recording.
Yeah.
The employer could decide to take control of the whole proceedings, make the recording themselves and provide the employee with a copy. Or they could ask the employee to confirm in writing that he or she will not broadcast the recording, will not post it to the internet or use it for any other purpose other than keeping a record for him or herself.
Now, there are important considerations that an employer needs to think about if they're going to have a policy which prohibits recording for disabled employees if there's the need to make reasonable adjustments.
Absolutely. I mean, if a disability makes it difficult to take a written note or places an employee at a substantial disadvantage, the employer may need to consider whether allowing the recording would be a reasonable adjustment. But there are other steps an employer could consider as well. For example, they could offer support of a note taker, or they could allow additional time to take notes.
Is there any other practical advice for employers to follow in this area?
Well, employers should always ensure that good practice is followed all the time, even when discussing issues with peers during breaks. You should always behave as though you're being recorded.
Yeah.
And it may be necessary sometimes to adjourn the meeting overnight so that the deliberations take place outside the room that the hearing is held in. Another option is to ask everyone to remove their personal belongings from the room during breaks.
It does still feel a little like the odds are stacked against employers when it comes to tribunals admitting covert recordings. Is applying for covert recordings to be admitted risk-free for employees?
Well, Laura, it depends on the content of the covert recordings. A good example that springs to mind is the case of Zia and others versus Brighton University Hospitals. In this case, a few days before the tribunal case, the trust received a recording and transcript of a meeting that they had with its lawyers directly after a without prejudice meeting with the claimants. It was obvious what had happened was that the claimants left the room and someone left a recording device in the room, which recorded not only the end of the without prejudice meeting, but the privileged meeting between the trust and its legal representatives.
And how did the Employment Tribunal respond to that?
Well, the Employment Tribunal took a very dim view of it, and they actually ordered the claimants' cases to be struck out. The Tribunal concluded that the claimants sent the recording to the Trust to put pressure on the Trust to settle, and they actually made a costs order against each of the claimants in the region of £17,000 each.
Okay, well, it's reassuring for employers that the Tribunal took the view that they did in that case, isn't it, given the tactic that was being adopted with a view to settlement. Thanks very much, Zoraida. You can find lots of resources on the site that will help you in this area, in particular a how-to guide on how to deal with an employee who makes or requests to make a recording of a meeting. And that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. We will be back next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.